I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. And there is much to learn about following God and about developing in faith and being led by the Spirit. You know, when you're born again, you're not born fully developed. The scripture talks about as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Just like physically when you were born, you are not born an adult. You're born a baby. Well, spiritually the same thing is true. When you're born again, you are a spiritual baby. And you're supposed to grow and develop, but you don't have to. Now, you know, physically, if a child is not fed, eventually they'd starve and die physically. But spiritually, that's not the case because a spirit being doesn't die like that. You just become weaker and weaker and emaciated spiritually. And sadly, many people are, they are absolutely, if you could see them in the spirit, their inner man, they are in a pitiful condition. They are wasted away to nothing, as we say. No, not enough strength to believe for anything. And that's why everything seems impossible to them. Everything seems too big, too hard. It's not because it's so big. It's because they're so weak. But there's a solution. Feed your spirit. Hallelujah. And that's not, we're not talking about natural food now. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Well, the Bible is a book of those words. And those words feed your spirit. And it is, you know, not like a politics or social reform or any of these things, literary, intellectual stuff. The inspired, God-breathed, quickening Word of God, if you'll receive it, it'll go right into you, and your inner man will start to blossom like a bud of a flower in the sunshine. I mean, and if you just keep feeding it, your insides will just begin to expand and enlarge, and you'll begin to get stronger, and what seemed so hard will begin to seem easy. Doable, what seemed impossible, you thought, well, no, God can do that. Everything changes when you're strong inside. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proverbs says in the Amplified that a strong spirit will sustain you, even in times of bodily pain and trouble. How can you make it through a vicious physical attack, something chronic or even terminal labeled? A strong spirit will help you to get through it and overcome it. Come out on the other side. How can you get through some kind of a vicious attack on you, whether it's legal or financial or in relationships or whatever? Well, you can just crumple and lay down and cry and fold and quit and be weak and be defeated and be destroyed. Or not fighting against flesh and blood, that's not the real problem. You can rise up and resist the enemy and stand against fear and doubt and desperation and declare the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit come up inside you and be the overcomer you were born to be. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's me.
That's me.
I agree. Let me pray over you. Father, we are so thankful that you have called us to be the overcomers that you've made us to be. And we don't fight that. we yield to it. We embrace it. And we choose to believe it. And we choose to say it over ourselves and speak it over ourselves. Open our eyes and ears and hearts today again. Quicken us, give us utterance and anointing, the examples, the scriptures, the way to walk, the way to live in by faith and please you and overcome. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Look again, please, in Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. And let's continue in our study that we're calling Faith for Provision. We're into our third reason now why we're sure it's God's will for all of us to have abundant provision. And this is not something you should take for granted. If you hear it and you think, well, yeah, I believe that too. Not like you can believe it. Not like you should. All of us can grow in being more solid, in being giving less place to anything that questions or challenges, it is written. The Bible said that though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He goes on to say, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's how you fight. It's not flailing your arms. It's not a physical fight. It's not just yelling and screaming at the top of your voice. The devil will yell and scream with you. What is it? It has to do with grabbing thoughts and suggestions and feelings that are contradictory to what God said, and you go, no, I don't believe, I don't care what it looks like or feels like. This is wrong. It contradicts God. And you cast it down. You throw it down. And you say, I refuse to look at that. I refuse to dwell on it. I refuse to listen to it. And I certainly refuse to say it over myself. And as we talked about the previous couple of days, in order to be on solid ground, you got to make the quality decision that the Word of God is first place and final authority in your life, and that it is like no other book. It is not just the writings of men. It came through human vessels, but it is not from them. It is from a source outside man and humanity and earth and even time. It is divine. Hallelujah. It is the inspired, God-breathed, eternal, perfect Word of God. Said out loud, God's Word, is first place, and final authority, in my life. Nothing else is above it. Nothing else is equal to it. I live by the Word of God. Hallelujah. This is something that millions of even church-going people have not done. They have not done this. They still put their own thoughts and feelings on an equal footing or above the Word of God. And in fact, you know, Jesus told people during His day, He said, you have made the Word of God of no effect because of your traditions. You know, I had a woman come up to me one time years ago after I'd been preaching on some things, and she came up, she's shaking her head before she got to me. I thought, here we go. And she's shaking her head, and she said, no, now what you were saying is not right. I said, why? She said, well, it's just like the song says. I said, the what? She said, the song. And she quoted an unbelieving verse, second verse, of a song out of a hymnal. I said, yeah, but sister, I just quoted to you half a dozen verses. She said, yeah, but it's like the song. And I couldn't convince her otherwise. Well, see, is the Word of God final authority with her?
No.
See, she thinks the song is. Well, somebody wrote that song. They're not God. And what you'll find is even some songs, even some hymns that we like, the chorus may be inspired, and all three verses may not be. Or verse 1 might be good, and verse 2 is absolutely unbelief. Well, how would you know it? If you don't know much of the Word of God, you won't know it. And you'd be wrong to assume that everything in a hymnal, everything in a Sunday school book, or everything that you hear somebody preach is the Word of God. Because men and women are men and women. They can have wrong ideas. And part of it can be right, and part of it absolutely wrong. Part of it can be God, and part of it's just them. And you need to be full of the "it is written" and paying attention to the Holy Spirit to help you identify what's God and what's just them. And that's the only way you can do it. Don't just take anybody's book or anybody's speaking and elevate it on the same level of the Word of God. No. Say it one more time. The Word of God.
The Word of God.
Is first place.
Is first place.
And final authority.
Final authority.
In my life.
In my life.
In every area.
In every area.
Nothing else.
Nothing else.
Is on equal footing.
Is on equal footing.
Nothing else. Amen. That will change your life. So we talked about the Lord being our shepherd, reason one. We talked about God being good as reason two. And now, number three, God is our Father. We're talking about the fatherhood of God. In Galatians 4, let's look at this. Galatians 4, 6. He says, "Because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." We also saw that in Romans 8, 15. Abba, Father. Now, Abba describes one of the first words a child might say, an infant might say. You know, parents are looking for mama or dada, and this would be the equivalent of our dada. Dada. Abba. See, they even sound similar. Abba. Dada. And see, this is, like we said before, we read in Ephesians where he said, "I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." You'll find that religion after religion that are false religions, they don't have this. They don't have this family concept. And in a lot of false religions, you don't dare call their God your Father. That's blasphemy to even say such a thing. And you know, Jesus was critiqued and condemned by the religious leaders because he called God his Father just as a regular thing. And they said, "Well, who is your Father?" And he said, "You don't know him." Whew, that made him mad too, you know, because then he said, you are of your father, the devil. Whew. So there's more than one family spiritually in the earth. There is the family of God, and not everybody is in the family of God. You know, you'll hear people say, "Well, we are all, you know, children of the same God." That is not true. That's a lie. No, if you're not born again through faith in Jesus Christ, you are not a part of the family of God. You are not in the family of God. You are not a child of God. Now, I know some people don't like that, but that's not my reasoning. That's the Word of God. That is, it is written. Jesus said this. He said it more than one way. He said, "Nobody comes to the Father except by me." That's what he said. And he said, in 1 John talks about, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father either. The Scripture says you can't know God without Jesus. You don't have access to Him. You can't have Him without Jesus. So if you're a Christian, you need to believe the Bible. If you're not a Christian, you ought to become one as quickly as possible. And I'm serious about that. If you've never confessed Jesus as the Lord of your life, this world is so uncertain. People dying, they tell us two people die about every second somewhere on the face of the planet. And you can be sure of those scores of thousands of people that'll die today somewhere. Most of them did not think this would be their last day on earth. And not all of them are old. Some of them are middle-aged. Some of them are young. You're not guaranteed a certain amount of time, especially if you're not even trying to serve God. And there is a hell, and there is a heaven, whether you believe it or not. You know, denying something doesn't make it not true. Believing something doesn't make it true. It's true whether you believe it or not. It exists whether you believe it or not. And so I am so thankful that years ago the Lord helped me to see I needed Jesus as my Savior, that I couldn't save myself. And I was able to call on Him. Oh, what a life I've had since then. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. And the best part's yet to come. If you haven't done that, won't you join us? Won't you become part of us? Let me lead you in a prayer. Let's say it out loud. Father God,
I believe in You.
I believe in Your Son, Jesus, that He is the only way to You, the only salvation for humanity. I believe He was born and went to the cross and died and paid the price for all of our sins. And I believe You have raised Him from the dead. He is alive right now, King of kings, Lord of lords. Jesus, I confess You, Lord of my life, my Savior, and my Lord. Thank You for saving me. Oh, hallelujah. If you really did that from your heart, you are forever changed. And your life is on a completely different spiritual and eternal trajectory. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. Heaven instead of hell. Life instead of death. Light and love instead of darkness and hate. And I'm not just talking about this life. I'm talking about forever. Oh, thank God. And now you can say with what we're talking about, He's my Father. God is my Father. You can even use the intimate term, Abba, Daddy. Is it true? My Papa, my Daddy, is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. My Daddy? Yes. Your Daddy? Yes. Is He really a Daddy to you? Is He really? He wants to be to everybody. But many have rejected Him. Go ahead, say it out loud. My God,
is my Father.
Abba. Father.
Father.
I'm Your child.
I'm Your child.
And You are,
my Father.
Forever.
Forever.
Hallelujah. You know, when He said, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, the family is a forever family. You know, when He talks about when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise, and then we which are alive and remain will be changed in a moment and caught up together. And it said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Be where? With Him and the family. How long? Past this life, we as our, you know, the family of God will never be separated again. And we won't be separated from God. We won't be separated from the Master Jesus. And we won't be separated from each other. Ever. I mean, Romans 8, the Spirit of God through Paul waxes eloquent and powerful preaching when he says, not death, not life, not principalities, not powers, not angels, not demons, not the past, not the future, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And see, we have no idea what all's out there. Even in this earth, even in the realm of the spirit, or in the entire universe, especially not in all the eons of the future to come. But one thing we can count on, we're safe in the family. Hallelujah. We're secure in the family. Jesus said this, nothing can pluck me out of my Father's hand. That'd be a good thing to say to you about yourself, because you are also the child of God. Look with me in John, the 20th chapter. Like we had mentioned, in some religions, you don't dare call God your Father. It's blasphemy in some religions. And that just shows, you know, error. Jesus called God His Father, and He also called Him our Father. When He had gone to the cross, and he was crucified, and then he gave up His spirit. His spirit left His body, and they brought Him, His body, off the cross, and they took and laid the body in the tomb. But then on the third day, the tomb was empty. The body was not there. And it was quite the uproar around there as to where the body was. And some of the women had gone out real early in the morning because there were yet preparations to be made for the body. And tomb's empty. And then they turn around and there He is. And the Master said in John 20 verse 17, because Mary was going to fall down, you know, and touch His feet and whatever. He said, don't touch me. And that's not because He never wanted anybody touching Him, because He let little children touch Him and come up and hug Him and grab Him. And that wasn't the deal. It was just this one particular moment right now. He said, I have not yet ascended to my Father. He's just been raised from the dead. They got there, I don't know, minutes or something after His spirit came back into His body. And He raised up and sat up and took that napkin off His face and all that stuff. And He's standing outside the tomb. And He said, don't touch me. Why? He's about to go before the throne as the holy high priest and offer His own blood, holy blood that He shed as the eternal payment and sacrifice for sin. He said, don't touch me. See, that goes back to the law. When the priest would go, when they're going to go into the Holy of Holies and present the sacrifice, they would wash and put on the clothes, and nobody touched them, and they didn't touch anybody. That wasn't all the time. It was just when they went in to make this, do this service. He said, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. Somebody say, my Father.
My Father.
But go to my brethren. Well, now hold on. If we're His brothers, who's our daddy? Right? Go to my brothers and say this to them. I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. Woo-hoo-hoo. To my God and your God. Hallelujah. Is He just as much my God as He is Jesus' God? Is He just as much my Father as Jesus' Father? Has to be, because the sonship that you and I have through the new birth and the righteousness and acceptance is actually Jesus' own righteousness. It's His that makes us acceptable. So it has to be the same, because it is the same. And the reason He came is that you and I could never achieve that. The Bible said, you know, the best of our works were like filthy rags. We couldn't attain to that purity, to that holiness, to that perfection. And so He had to come and offer His own blood as the perfect, sinless sacrifice. And when He did that, and the Father accepted it, he didn't just accept it on Jesus' behalf because Jesus had no sin to be redeemed from. He did it all for us. Oh, can you say amen? He did it all for us. And so when the Father accepted that sacrifice of his blood, then that makes you and I acceptable, washed, clean, sanctified, redeemed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now we can be truly called the sons of God. And God is our Father. So don't let anybody try to brush that off with you or try to make you feel unworthy to say that, because you didn't make yourself worthy. Jesus made you worthy. Jesus made us worthy with his own blood. Somebody said out loud, he made me worthy.
He made me worthy.
He made me clean.
He made me clean.
Washed me clean.
Washed me.
With his own blood.
Made me fit.
Able. Accepted.
To be.
A child of God.
God
is my Father.
My
very own Father.
I'm a part of his family.
His very own child.
Forever family.
Hallelujah. Forever family. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. I ascend, Jesus said, to my Father and your Father. To my God and your God. Like I said, this is something that some religions, if I call their name, you recognize them. They don't accept at all that Jesus could say this, much less us. And that's because the enemy hates this. Woo! Ooh, he hates this. This is something he can never, ever be or come close to. He's a created being who fell from his place. And he was never and will never be a child of God. Hallelujah. You are. I am. Not because of you and me, but because of the Master, Yeshua, Jesus. Said another time, I am. The child of God. Born of him. I belong to him. I'm his very own child. He's my very own Father. And my Father takes care of me. Oh, hallelujah. Which is why we are sure it's always God's will for us to have abundant provision, because he's my Father. And our time's up again. Well, come back tomorrow, because there's a lot more to see and grow in. We'll see you soon here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.